seated. It's often when we are confronted with things in our lives that are new or difficult or different, surprising, especially when they're so big that they just don't fit the categories that we have known, we'll say, I can't believe it. Even if we're standing right in front of the thing we say we can't believe. Which means it's not that we can't believe it. Sometimes we're like Thomas, we won't believe it until we understand it better. But sometimes what we're just saying is, we can't fit this into the world that we know. This is breaking and bending categories. That's what happens when the disciples are discovering Jesus alive in their midst. All the stories, starting with Easter, remember 2 weeks ago, Easter from the Mark, you know, the last words of the gospel, are they ran away terrified. Or last week with Thomas, Doubting Thomas, we call him. And today with the disciples, same response. There's this pattern, in fact, and it shows up in Acts, the first reading from today, that makes it worth paying attention to. Doubt shows up 3 weeks in a row, and today in both readings, disciples encounter something they don't understand, they doubt it, they don't know what to do with it, and then by being exposed to a deeper level of understanding, not just sight, but insight, they are able to enlarge themselves to a new reality, which changes them. When I say doubt, I think it needs to be defined. I mean more than intellectual skepticism. Doubt has lots of cousins. Disruption, discomfort, disillusionment, despair, disappointment. You can probably think of a few others. It's that, that kind of collapse of certainty, the collapse of hope. It includes a lot of our lives, those places where we're like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I belong. I don't know if I have what it takes. That deep, gnawing doubt. And I think what's also important about doubt, if we're talking about faith, is to challenge its opposition to faith. So if I started out by saying, what's the opposite? What's the antonym of faith? A lot of people would have said, maybe not here, but somewhere out there, would have said doubt. But is it? Really? That's not how it's presented here. Certainly not with Thomas and not with the disciples here. I think it's a lot more correct to say the opposite of faith is certainty. That doubt in the context of faith is when something's broken, when our certainties are broken apart, suddenly that opens the space for something new to happen, for something bigger to get in. Certainty is very comfortable. The guarantee is wonderful, but it's based on nothing new. It's based on knowing what the perimeter is and being able to keep that perimeter. This is something we've really taught in religion that for centuries, that doubt is a problem to be corrected, rather than a doorway, rather than something that leads us deeper into faith. So what if doubt was more like breadcrumbs? Instead of trying to eradicate doubt from our life, we were to kind of focus in on it and say, oh, here's something where my certainties are being broken up, and I don't know. And I know that I don't know. That's an opportunity for the spirit, that spirit space. Something can get in now. Suddenly, doubt is a different kind of thing. You know, when Jesus comes to Thomas, Louise preached about this last week. We call him Doubting Thomas. That's not what Jesus calls him. Jesus says, blessed are you for seeing, for believing what you see. And even more blessed are the people who believe and haven't seen, but have had insight. Doubt is not the problem. Making doubt the problem is the problem. So, that can be scary. I get it. Scary to me. I mean, I wouldn't have designed it this way if I were building the world, to make doubt the path to larger life. But it seems to be just that. Jesus steps into the circle. I love this, the way the reading starts. He stood there, just, here I am, and says, peace. Talk about anchoring the moment. And their experience of him, I mean, this is, all these images are so important, images and words, is not a ghost. This isn't less than real. In fact, it's more than real. In some ways, they're the ghosts in his presence. There's a solidity to Jesus that redefines reality. And there's this line that I absolutely love. It's my first, the thing I was just most drawn to in this reading, where it says about the disciples, while in their joy, they were still disbelieving. There's a kind of doubt and faith right together, this mixture. While in their joy, they were disbelieving. I can't believe this. And then Jesus says, while I was still with you. That makes, that throws it even crazier. Jesus is with them, but not the same. And it's not that he's removed, it's that he's even more present. The disciples are, I mean, this is again, sermons that get written years later. They're describing their experience now. This is what it's like to live now with this presence, or, you know, connected to presence that redefines our small, little, often doubting realities. We often talk about prayer that way, that getting quiet in prayer, to suddenly notice the presence, not presence of something external, but something that dwells within, something that we are intimately connected to, changes the nature of reality, makes it really real. This is a great recipe for now, when our certainties are blown open. There is so little that we can plan for. I've been trying to do some planning for St. Paul's, and we all keep saying when we're doing our planning, well, depending on what the world gives us, next month or in September. Because at this point, it's not that we don't plan, it's just that we're holding it lightly. Because if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Other stuff will happen. So this recipe of embracing doubt, letting it be the breadcrumbs toward larger life, is the life of faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's one is almost the through line of the other. But I want to redefine faith as well, not differently than Scripture does, but as Scripture does. In the Acts reading, it talks not about faith in Jesus, but faith through Jesus. That there is, that in the Western mind, faith is, we often think of it as intellectual assent or adoption of intellectual ideas. I believe this about, very much here. In the Mediterranean mind, biblical scholar John Pilch leans strongly into this in his understanding of Scripture. In the Mediterranean mind, faith is loyalty. It is fidelity. Faithfulness is staying with the one, the group, the thing that you've thrown your lot in with. That's not about belief. It's about a kind of umbilical connection And it's possible when we doubt. You know, those two things, again, aren't pitted against one another. To be practicing faithfully means to continue on this way, the way of Jesus, which is the way of the prophets. When Jesus' disciples say, "What's the greatest commandment?" He takes two verses from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and stitches them together and says, "Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." And then he kind of turns the power on by saying, "As much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." So God and neighbor are the same. That is a practice. That's to love God and love neighbor is not belief, it's practice. It's not Christian. It's a deeper foundation than that. I ran across one of those lists, all I needed to know I learned in kindergarten kind of lists. Struck me not that different than Jesus' teaching. Don't take things that aren't yours. Don't hit people. Hold close and stick together. Share. Take a nap. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Things change and come to an end. You graduate, go on to first grade, you know, let them go. And what all children know best, be aware of wonder. There it is. There's living faithfully right there. It's not believing anything. It's just, but it takes faith to stay that course. A lot of us would like to hit someone some days. So, how do we remain faithful but just that? It's such basic wisdom. And this faithful practice where we pay attention to doubt, you know, being faithful to doubt, letting it lead us into this larger life, is so counterintuitive, but it starts unlocking the doors. Yesterday at our vestry meeting, our April vestry meeting, our co-warden George Anderson brought as our reflection a poem from the 13th century Muslim mystic Rumi. And again, it just resonated for a lot of us as this way of walking faithfully by letting go of our certainties and leaning into the place where we are most vulnerable. Let this land on your heart as a call. When I run after what I think I want, my days are a furnace of stress and anxiety. If I sit in my own place of patience, what I need flows to me and without pain. From this I understand that what I want also wants me, is looking for me and attracting me. There is a great secret here for anyone who can grasp it. This is a beautiful articulation of faithful practice, which gets truer the higher the waves get, the bigger the uncertainty gets, the stronger the doubts. We live in challenging times, no doubt. And the waves are high. There's a lot of loss of certainty. There is grief, trauma, doubt that we will return to normal. Which means now is the time for this courageous Christian community living to embrace our doubts. Let them lead us. Don't embrace them as identity, but embrace them as path to deeper questions, more open doors, with this through line of fidelity, of loyalty, of just sitting in our own place of patience. Loving God, loving neighbor, as ourself, as God. What we learned in kindergarten, Sunday school, This is our everyday path to resurrection. It is resurrection for us. It's happening right now. Often it's too close, too gritty to see it. But if we are faithful to the practice, then new hope and new life does rise in us and through us and from us. This is how we become the wounded and broken and glorious and risen body of Christ in the world.